Last week, we were talking, we finished up marriage, and I'm glad to hear some people are paying attention to me, including the when I slip up. I missed my big punchline when I gave you the example of what was so of why it was so bad for people to live together, right? And I said, well, if you came in and you saw the altar server standing at the holy table with a discourse of bread in one hand and a chalice of wine in the other, intoning, this is my body, this is my blood, you would be scandalized, for he'd be mocking the sacrament of the Eucharist. That's what I meant to say. I said he'd mocking the sacrament of marriage, but you all knew what I meant, right? Mocking the sacrament. You know, they used to drive me crazy. None of you guys in blue jeans have holes in them, do you? That drives me crazy to see people doing that, okay? It mocks the true poor. It's exactly what it's doing. It's mocking the true poor who actually have holes in their clothes. Also, marriage, and one other thing that I didn't address was that marriages are not performed during any of the fast periods because they're celebrations. And they're usually and normally on a Sunday. You know, Matryoshka and I found out there's a big advantage to having your daughter's wedding on a Sunday. They give a 15% discount at the place where you have the reception because that's the slowest day of the week for them, a Sunday. So it was wonderful. Right? That was the first reception. She had two because we had one for the family and other folks there, and then one for the whole church the next day. She got married on Memorial Day when we had all these days of celebration. But today now we look at the mystery of holy unction or anointing. Healing the sick, as we saw in today's gospel, was an important part of Jesus' ministry. His cures were to be a sign to the Jews that the Messianic age had come. And Jesus often pointed to his cures as proof of his divine mission. In Luke's gospel, this is what's recorded in the 7th chapter. When the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. So Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus gave his apostles that same power that he had to heal diseases. Let's look at just two examples. The first would be from Luke's gospel again in the 9th chapter. And then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Mark's gospel is written in the 6th chapter. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two. And so they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. The apostles exercised that power in the earliest days of the church. We have recorded for us in the Acts of the Apostles, 3rd chapter, when Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the 9th hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise, walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. As Father Anthony Koniaris points out in his book, these are the sacraments, which forms the basis of our sermon series on the sacraments. Orthodox Christians never leave sick people to just chemistry and surgery. Chemistry and surgery are good. God has given us these means of healing. But in addition to these, he's also given us prayer and the holy mystery of unction. God cares for us when we're sick. Illness does not mean that God is punishing us. Sickness falls like the rain on both the just and the unjust. In fact, illness is often a blessing in disguise. It gives us time to be still and to think. It turns our attention to God. Few cry out, you know I love to say, few cry out to their God from the beach. When all is well and everything is sunshine and we're just feeling chipper, usually God isn't quite thought of as much as he is from the sickbed. It turns our attention to a God who cares about us, who works for health and healing through the marvelous defense system he's implanted in the body itself, the white blood cells that rush to every wound ready to fight off infection. God works for healing through the new miracle drugs and the new surgery techniques that are being discovered. But in addition to these, he works for healing through prayers and the sacrament of unction. During Holy Week, as we are reminded how much God suffered on the cross to save our souls, we're reminded that God cares for us and for our bodies as well. That's why on Holy Wednesday, we have the Holy Unction service, where we actually give the anointing for everyone. St. James tells us in his epistle, that if we are sick, we are to send for the church elders, the priests, to be prayed over and to be anointed with oil. This is from James's epistle, the 5th chapter. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. In Jesus' time, olive oil was considered to have therapeutic powers. Right? We know that with the parable of the Good Samaritan, that what did he do? He poured oil and wine upon the wounds of the victim of the robbers. Today, the oil in the holy mystery of anointing is an external sign used to signify the healing power of God that's imparted to the believer. And the oil is always consecrated by the priest. In fact, if we had enough priests for this, an actual anointing takes 7 priests. And I have an anointing tray. We've set it out on Holy Wednesday. And it has 7 little dabbers to anoint with. It has place for 7 candles and all that. We just don't have 7 priests to go along with it. Okay? The Orthodox Study Bible footnote to the passage from James that I just read to you tells us the requirements for holy unction. And let's look at that footnote. The elements of the sacrament of healing include, 1, the presbyter or priest. All the sacraments except for ordination are administered by the priest. So we need the priest. 2, the prayer of the faith that will save. We have to have prayers. 3, the work of Christ himself. It says, and the Lord will raise up. The Holy Spirit manifested in the oil. And 5, confession of sins just prior to the anointing with oil, which explains why James writes, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. You notice that James admonishes the sick person to confess their sins, and thus they will be forgiven. What if the person is unconscious and thus unable to confess? You remember we prayed the Patahita for Matushka Helen, and so when she was sick, the daughters called me, or she was rather close to death, they called me, and I went to the nursing home. And she was unconscious. And what do you do? Very simple. I lean over. I whisper in the person's ear, if you can hear me, call to mind your sins, repent, and ask for God's forgiveness. And then I prayed, Lord, have mercy upon my servant who cannot confess. But you know all things. Be merciful and forgive her her sins. And then I give the absolution. And then I leave it to God. Confession is to precede holy anointing. Our service books tells us that confession, then communion, then anointing are the usual order of the mysteries for the sick. Here, Paul Edoimov, a Russian writer, writes this. For the East, salvation seen in the light of the Bible has nothing juridical about it. It is not the sentence of a tribunal. Jesus the Savior is the divine healer, the source of health. He who said, it is not the healthy who need the physician, but the sick. Your faith has saved you, he said. And your faith has healed you, he said. And your faith has saved you and your faith has healed you are synonyms for one and the same divine act which heals the soul and the body in their unity. In keeping with this therapeutic concept of salvation, the sacrament of confession is viewed as a, quote, medical clinic and the Eucharist as the, quote, medicine of immortality. Jesus, in the sacrament is kept on the holy table so that he can be brought to those to be anointed, as well as for communion for those who are homebound or when in the hospital or nursing homes. Every Christmas nativity, one of the things they do is they cut a part of the lamb and then it's air dried. Let it dry in the air and it becomes hot, just like a little pebble. In fact, the Russians used to prepare for famine by taking bread, slicing the bread, and rebaking it. They'd get all the water out of it. And be like a little, like a rock. That bread would last for years. Same way with the Eucharist. It'll last for years. And then I take a piece and put a drop or two of wine on it, and by the time I get to give communion, it's soft again. And that's how we store the Eucharist. For these reasons, I keep in my truck a stole, a service book, a small bottle of oil, and a communion kit. So I thought we'd have part of this would be show and tell. Just stay there. You're not going to hand me all that. I'll run out of hands. The priest always wears a stole, right, to demonstrate that he is performing his sacraments and that his authority comes from God, not from himself. This marvelous thing was a gift to me when my ordination, and it was the thought up by another priest I know well. And you notice how short it is. And that's so when you're in the hospital, it doesn't drag the ground. Okay? Gosh knows what's on the ground in the hospital, right? Because when I hear confessions, then I put the stole on top of the person's head, and I don't want to be giving them germs. So we have our stole that we bring. Right? We always have a service book. Then we have oil. We bless the oil. And I keep it in this little bottle, nothing dramatic about it, in a little plastic Ziploc pouch. And you notice I have some paper towel in case I need to wipe it off my fingers or whatever. Then, when the paper towel, I can burn the paper towel. Okay? So that's why I use a paper towel. And then for communion, now every priest I know, I think, has one of the communion kits. I have one. And it has a little tiny chalice in it and all that, and you use it about one time. And it gets to be, it's such, you need like four hands. And the last thing you can be doing is doing all that in an emergency room. So after doing it my first time, I reverted back to the way I used to make sick calls when I was a deacon. And that is to use this thing that looks like a pocket watch. And the pocket watch thing opens up and it's gold lined, gold plated inside. And that's where Jesus is carried. I have a little spoon inside this Iliaton, or Lentian rather. And what it was a baby spoon for Eastern Christians, because it has a three-bar cross on the baby spoon. And it works wonderful for giving communion. And then we have, this is called, and this is, we have one of these on the holy table and on the table of preparation. They're called Lentians, and they're just to keep everything in case you need to wipe something and so on. So that's how I make, let me get a little pass. That's how I make the calls when I go for an anointing. And it all works even in the emergency, right, Gene? Because I came to see you. And it does. It works well because you don't have a lot of things to deal with. In the service book, this is an abbreviated version. I got four volumes up there on the holy table that tells you how to do every sacrament and how to make every anointing. Oh, give you all this back. There you go. So we see that the sacrament of unction has a dual purpose: bodily healing and healing of the soul by the forgiveness of sins. But what if the healing of the body does not come? We don't despair, but continue to trust in the infinite love of God. God always answers our prayers regarding our illness, and sometimes that answer is the ability to endure. We have the famous passage from 2 Corinthians 12 chapter. This is Paul writing. At least I would be exalted, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. And many think it's blindness. He was going blind because in another place he writes, "See what a large hand I write to you." In other words, big letters so he could see. "A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that he might depart, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" My grace is sufficient for you. The holy mystery of anointing is not just for the sick room. We have seen, as we've seen, it's administered in the church in the evening of Holy Wednesday. But why should it be administered in church to a congregation who doesn't appear to be sick? Well, not all sickness is physical. We have emotional and mental sickness. And there's also sickness of the soul, called sin. Unction is not just for physical healing, but for emotional, mental, and spiritual healing. That being the case, you see that holy unction is not a last rite. It's not something you wait till the person is at death's doorstep to call the priest. It's valuable whenever we are in need of healing. We shouldn't wait. We shouldn't be taken to the hospital and think, "Well, I'm not that bad." Would you tell the nurse, "You know, I'm not that bad. Let's skip the medicine"? Or would you tell the physician, "I'm not that bad. Let's wait a while and see what happens"? Neither should we skip the ministrations of the great physician through his holy sacrament of anointing. And please don't think, "I don't want to bother the priest." It's not a bother. It's my duty. It's my ministry. And it's my joy to come and to serve Jesus by serving you. And please don't let us find out you went to the hospital only after they let you out. We all need to be praying for each other. Finally, the sacrament of holy anointing should remind us that as members of Christ's church, we are members of a healing fellowship. We're healed in order to bring healing to others. We're forgiven in order to bring forgiveness to others. We are loved in order to bring love to others. We are to be channels of God's healing power in the world. Like the Good Samaritan, we should never hesitate to stop on the road of life to pour the healing oil of God's love and forgiveness on our neighbor lying neglected and abandoned on the roadside. Of all of the things I remember, two stand out the most of our trip to Israel. One was going into the tomb. And second was driving along the road and seeing a road sign. And it pointed, one arrow pointed this way and said, "Jericho," and the other pointed this way and said, "Jerusalem." And all I could think of was a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell in among thieves. And what a great reminder that was of our call to be good Samaritans in the world. So let us participate when we're in need of the sacrament of unction, and let us bring God's healing and forgiveness to others. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Christ.